Welcome to Al Berman Live from a studio apartment. This is episode 101. I keep wanting to saying from a studio apartment in North Hollywood, California, the longer version, but it's not. I've cut it down. It doesn't matter where I'm. It's live from a studio apartment. It's everywhere, USA. Why am I yelling again? Why do I sound like that? Okay, all right. Okay, first things first. I have to confess, like, last week, I made a commitment to clean up my food by today, by the next time I recorded a podcast, which is 1 week later, pretty much to the minute. And it didn't happen. And, you know, I think that, you know, I can make all the excuses in the world I want, but I'm going through a thing where it's you know, I gotta deal with the emotions behind all this. I'm eating emotionally. And I'm kind of, I know I'm gaining weight, even though everybody I've asked so far has said, no, I say, how do I look? Do I look like heavier? No. Except one lady in Gelson's just now. I said, hey, what do you think? Am I getting fatter? She goes, yeah, a little bit. And, you know, I mean, because I know I mean, even though I'm not weighing myself, because I don't believe in the scale, because it's, you know, I don't like the, actually, I was told years ago by a trainer that, you know, the scale, you don't go on the scale because you can, it's deceiving to, and you get, anyway, that's my, well, it's not an excuse. I know when I'm feeling better, when my clothes are bigger, blah, 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 blah. So what's happening? My clothes are feeling a little tighter. I'm feeling a little sluggisher, although I'm speedier with the sugar. But that's all going to change. It's got to change. See, the fact that I'm even addressing it, I'm not hiding in a closet somewhere. I'm hiding in a studio apartment. No, I'm not like, and I'm talking about it here to you. And I'll probably end up talking about it on stage pretty soon because I can see that it's on my mind. It's on my mind. I am so obsessed with food. I wish that wasn't the case. I wish it wasn't the case. I wish that I could just go, okay, food is something you do to live, and there's pleasure involved, but don't, I'm one of those people that I fantasize about food. And I don't think, it's like I'm not like in the minority here, folks. I think there's a lot of people like me. So, but I would like to get out of that. I would like to stop that. To stop with the obsession with the food. You know, and then, of course, you know, Sunday night, actually Monday morning, I believe it was. So Sunday was when I recorded this and uploaded it Sunday night. And then go to sleepy time, go to schloofy, schloof, schloof. And about 6:30 a.m. out here in West Coast time, we had an earthquake. And I had just woken up from some kind of very vivid, intense dream. And the earthquake, I was up right before the earthquake hit, I believe. And it hit. And, you know, usually what I do, I jump out of bed and I throw on some clothes just in case the building comes down and I survive. I'll be out there. I won't be out there in my underwear. But this time I was very calm. I wasn't nervous. I wasn't afraid. I laid there and it was a deep earthquake. It was, and it kind of, I thought, you know what, this could be, maybe this could be like that Northridge one from like 1994, 20 years ago. Holy mackerel, 20 years ago. I remember it like it was just, you know, today, yesterday. Oh, that one I thought was definitely, that was it. I thought, this is it. Goodbye, everybody. Nice knowing you. This one, I didn't feel quite like that, but I thought it had the potential to go there. It seemed to go on longer than I anticipated. Although people say, some people I've heard say it didn't go on very long. I think it went on long. That's my opinion. So, of course, after an earthquake of that kind of magnitude, then you have to emotionally eat over that. You can't just start eating clean. You need to go get some cupcakes, and you got to go get some bread. I've been eating bread lately, and bread is so bad for you these days. All that stuff is bad because of the, you know, the GMOs. That's why everybody needs to go gluten-free. So, okay, you can hear the frustration in my voice. And I'm trying to make some comedy out of it eventually, but and even a little bit here. But I will clean up my food. I haven't even been exercising. I've hardly exercised. Although when I walk, I move pretty good. I'm a good mover. I'm a mover and I'm a shaker. I can shake too. I can shake pretty good too. Do moving and shaking. You know, so that's that. I've been that's what I'm going through. And I just thought about this today because I was just shopping over at Gelson's, which I used to call Gougers, but you know, now I'll just disguise people's names. I won't call them by their names. But I was just over there and I was talking to somebody about this. Who was I talking to? I forget who it was. I'm drawing a blank of who I was talking to regarding the food. But I thought, you know what? Maybe what I need to do now, instead of going from, okay, I'm really crazy with the food and I'm going to be clean the next day, how about you just start, you gradually cut down. I lost a bunch of weight that way first by cutting down. But I don't want to stay in the cut down stage too long. I want, you know, so maybe it's a transition. Oh, this is so ridiculous that a person has to even be that this is what I'm doing with my life. This is what I'm doing with my life. I'm actually all right. Let's not get critical, Al. Let's not get critical. You know, so that's that. And the other day, I went to Ralph's the other day, and there's a girl that works there, and we had talked candy one time. She showed me this candy she liked. And so she was helping in the they got the self-service, self-checkout thing at Ralph's now to cut down on employees, but it takes way longer because people like me need assistance from people like her. And it's actually more personalized service because, you know, she did everything. She took the items out of the basket, and she put them, and she bagged them for me. And but before I went there, I saw her, and she goes, "Hey, buy me some candy." You know, because she's obsessed with candy. She's obsessed with sugar, too. And I did. Because I respond to women dominating me up to a point. And, you know, she didn't ask me. She didn't say, hey. You know, I mean, she was nice. She wasn't, like, mean. I don't like mean people. But she was just like, hey, buy me some candy. I thought to myself, you know, this woman, I looked at this woman. I believe she's probably broken up with her husband. She's got a couple kids. Probably about her early to mid-30s. Latina. Attractive woman. You know, not super duper, but, you know, nice, you know, whatever. Hey, I'm not super duper myself, right? Watch your step, mister. But I thought to myself, you know what? I'm going to buy her some candy because she could, I think it would be, you know, she asked me and it would be a nice gesture on my part. And it would, you know, it would be like, it's a gift and it would make her feel good. It just, I don't want anything from her, just to do something nice for somebody. And so I went and got her these, Reese's peanut butter cups. They're like mini cups. I don't know if they're mini cups. They're not mini, but they're smaller than the regular ones. But they're not super duper small, I don't think. But anyway, I knew she liked those. And they were on sale for 2 bags for $6. So I got her a bag. Because one bag has got like a lot in it. And she was amazed. Because when I stepped up to her to help me with my grocery checkout, I go, here, I got you this. Is this okay? And she goes, oh my gosh, because it's so big. And I said, you're not the first person who said that. Whoa! Couldn't resist that. Kind of an old, kind of jokey thing. No, I said, well, I mean, I figured, hey, you know, make it nice. I mean, what are you expecting like a little candy bar, weren't you? She goes, oh, yeah. And I go, well, no. And so she agreed to share with some people. And she told me she would share with the pretty Armenian girl I know. And I was telling her that I bought some candy for the other lady. And she was like, oh, okay, yes, I like candy too. I like candy so much. I like it. It's so nice of you to buy candy. So I bought her candy. So anyway, I guess the point I'm making is that she's obsessed with candy. I'm obsessed with candy. And then the girl that works there at Ralph's who makes cake pops on the side that I got, I think I probably talked about this during the holidays, I bought cake pops from her. Well, the girl I bought the candy for, this was a couple weeks ago, she was saying her daughter was having a birthday party and she was going to get some cupcakes in the bakery. And I said, well, you want to get, you know, our friend over there to make you some cake pops. And then, so I put those two together And a sale was made. It turns out that she was really impressed. Of course, I didn't get any commission. It wasn't going to be much of a commission involved. And I didn't even get a thank you, except I did text the girl who, Kathy, who did the cake pops, and I said, hey, am I your rep now? I understand that, Ingrid got some cake pops from you. And she said, yeah, absolutely. And she said, thanks. So it's okay. It's fine. She's a young girl. Sometimes people don't know how to say thank you right away. Sometimes people just do what they do. Sometimes people are too busy to say thank you. Sometimes people are not busy enough to think that they have been thanked. No, it's fine. It's fine. Anyway, I was glad to do it. And that's that. So then I'm over at the vitamin store I go to, and there's this Armenian girl from Iran. Nice. She's my bud. She's a very petite... Very petite girl, and I would say, it's hard to tell, but I bet you she's at least in her mid-20s, you know, and she's very feisty, as they say. The first time I met her, you know, I kind of got a little irritated with her because I asked her a question, and I felt like I was kind of irritated with her. This is a few years ago, and she stood up to me, and she let me have it, you know, she's... stepped to me and said, hey, you know, you don't get that. You don't talk that way to me. And I was just a little irritated. I apologized immediately, and we became friendly. And, we had this busting chops kind of relationship when I come in there. Hey, blah, blah, blah. You know, we like each other. She's got a boyfriend and blah, blah, blah. Her boyfriend's a nice guy. And so... I was talking to her about... Maybe I was talking to her about the food. I don't know. I probably was talking about the food because that's all I'm talking about lately. And I said to her, you know, well, what do you eat? I mean, every time I see you, you're eating you're eating French fries or a hot dog. And you're so slender. And she started laughing. She goes, she doesn't speak like the other Armenian girl. She goes, I don't eat healthy foods. I eat... She was like kind of bragging about it. I'm proud. I eat unhealthy. Oh, no, I eat very unhealthy. I eat very unhealthy. I eat nothing but unhealthy things. And it feeds my body well. So there you have it. You know, she has no weight problem. She seems to have, you know, no health issues. Thanks to God. Thanks, God. All right. So, this is going to be a big food-themed show already, isn't it? You know, I want to talk about shopping carts because, you know, I pulled into one of the markets the other day, and there's nothing worse in the shopping cart realm. Well, I guess there's other things worse. You know, you see a parking spot, you go to pull in, and some idiot, because from the angle you were at, you didn't see it, there's a shopping cart in the parking spot, so you can't pull in without getting out of your car and moving the parking, the shopping cart. And I just find that to be, you know, if it's late at night and you know there's a lot of spaces and they're going to close soon, okay, but come on, have some decency. But then talking about decency, I'm at Ralph's the other day, and for some reason, a lot of indecent people shop at Ralph's. And, people with kind of attitude. Well, actually, in Gelson's, I ran into a guy one day. He literally almost ran me over, and I stood there like, what? Are you real? For real? He kept moving. I mean, I didn't say that to him. I was waiting. I just stood there like, what? And I figured he's kind of a firecracker. But what I noticed at Ralph's the other day is some lady, she's got a big shopping cart full of stuff. And she's, you know, pushing it. And then she goes, oh, she's got to go off to the right to pick something up. And so before she does that, rather than bring her shopping cart with her, because it's only like a couple of feet. And I understand, you don't need to bring it, your shopping cart. It doesn't have to be tethered to you. So, but what she does is she takes the shopping cart and she puts it right on the entrance to the aisle and blocks the aisle. And I thought, boy, that was really inconsiderate. And there was somebody else that did that a couple weeks ago, a guy. He had the aisle blocked. And I just moved his cart. I didn't ask him. First of all, I didn't really know it was his car. I've had a feeling it was. And I moved it. And then when And then I moved it, and then I saw him later, and he kind of looked at me like, hey, you touched my cart? And I'm just like, hey, you want to say something? Say something. You want to take ownership of the cart? You want to throw down behind a cart? It doesn't belong to you? It's just, I don't know, I think a lot of people are on edge. A lot of people are on edge. And, yeah, there's a lot of edginess going on. A lot of edginess happening here. And speaking of that, one more thing. I'm in Gelson's the other day, and I was just got a few items, and I was carrying one of those baskets that you just carry. I wasn't pushing a shopping cart. I had like a salad and tuna thing and maybe some water or whatever. It was probably about it. And I was going to go online, and there's an older gentleman with a shopping cart, and I think he's in front of me. And I don't even know this guy, and he says to me, would you like to rest your basket? And I go, excuse me? He goes, your basket, you're carrying a basket. While you're waiting, would you like to rest it in my cart? And I just thought, man, that's a little suggestive, brother. I might say that to a girl, and I wouldn't even say it like that. I would say, hey, you want to put, you know, I don't know. I just felt a little like he was hitting on me, you know. And I was just like, no, that's okay. It's not bad. Thank you, you big strong man. Your big basket. Let me rest my basket. You're a big strongie. All right, so what's going on? Today I come home and my clicker wasn't working on the gate to get in, and I kept so I parked on the street, and then I got out of the car and I kept clicking it. Finally, it did it, and I didn't understand what the reason was. So then I went over to Janet and Aaron, and I don't know. It's just like, you know, Janet, at first I told Janet, you know, I don't know if there's something wrong with the gate. She goes, there can't be nothing wrong with the gate. Well, I mean, I couldn't open it with this clicker. Maybe it's a battery. All right, whatever. And then Aaron comes by and he goes, we're leaving right now. We can't deal with this right now. We'll deal with it later. And it's just like, I don't know. I just think, like, you know, they're probably getting ready to quit this job. That's what I'm thinking. Because after a while, after you work for the people that own this place, and, you know, and then you realize it's not worth it, you know, the free rent, you know, I want my free time. So I have a feeling, I'll put money that they're getting ready to quit this job. Could be wrong, but I'll keep you posted. Then last Sunday night, actually, I got an email late at 10 o'clock from the owner about my cigar smoke bothering tenants in multiple units and saying that I'm violating my lease. Well, the next day I sent him an email. Now listen, let me preface this with, I know that cigar smoke is a heavy smoke and people either like it or they really hate it. I get that. And I'm a pretty nice guy. I've been, you know, smoking for a while, and when they used to be able to let you smoke on the courtyard, whenever anybody told me they were bothered by my smoke, I always moved. And I've been chased all over this building, okay? So I've been chased all over. I couldn't even smoke in my own house for years because the lady upstairs, it bothered her, the lady Patty who lived upstairs. And, you know, again, I'm susceptible to women and their domineering ways. So, there's a guy that lived there above me for years, and he liked the smell. You know, I talked to him about it, and he said he didn't even notice it, and sometimes he actually liked the smell, and it was fine. Now we have a new guy, and I was telling Aaron introduced me one day to a prospective tenant who was going to move upstairs, and he said, oh, this is could be your new neighbor, and I go, great. By the way, have they told you I smoke cigars? And the guy goes, no, he was appalled. I'm very allergic to smoke. So he dodged a bullet on that one. And then I got a call from Mark, the owner's brother, instructing me not to, not to talk to these people about the cigar smoke. He goes, I know we can't do anything about it. The law is on your side. All right, fine. If you don't want to have full disclosure, all right, it's on you then. So then this new kid moves in. I say kid because he looks like he's younger than me, but he's not that young. And a nice guy. We get along, him and I talk. And once in a while, nothing deep, but just, you know, seems like a nice, from Chicago, nice guy. Heavy set, real heavy set. And I was concerned, like, it was bothering him, you know, because I like him and he probably didn't know. But I wanted to see, you know, if it was, if we can work something out. And I didn't tell the owner that I was, I just said, told the owner, well, I got this, the law's on my side here, man. And he writes back, yes, but he goes, I might, he says, I noticed I did not say you cannot smoke in your house. I'm telling you that you must control the cigar stench. Well, you know, what is this, an Abbott and Costello routine? You know, first you say I can smoke my cigar. Then you say I can't smoke my cigar. So I go, okay, fine. Let me see if I can come up with some solution. I looked into air purifiers. I don't have, I'm not spending them $200 on air purifiers. I looked into what these candles that allegedly cover the smell of cigar smoke. And I called a buddy of mine, old buddy I haven't talked to in a while, owns a cigar shop here locally. Asked him about that. He says it's BS. So I go, all right, well, okay, what am I going to do? Well, anyway, Chris comes over the other day to clean my house, and lo and behold, he brings me a pretty brand new purifier that his dad had bought years ago, and his dad and mom used to use. They were both heavy cigarette smokers. His dad is no longer with us, or with him. He was never with me. And his mom is now not smoking cigarettes. So, anyway, he brought it over, and it's silent, it's quiet, it's silent but deadly, as they say, and see what happens. I don't know, but my point is, okay, the point is, at one point before I got this machine, during the week, I came home around 10:30, and I said, well, I'm going to go knock, if this guy, I saw the guy's car, because he works late at night, and if he's working, and I can't, you know, he doesn't get home till 7 in the morning. So I said, you know what, I'm going to go be a man about it. Because the guy, the owner, was being very contentious. I said to him, well, I'm looking into maybe, you know, doing this or that. And he goes, I don't care. It's, I don't care what you do, he goes. It's your responsibility. You know, it's insane. I'm bothering multiple tenants. I asked a tenant in the courtyard, in the front, who's been here for a long time. They don't smell it. I know Aaron and Janet live next door. They never smell it. I know there are these guys that live above Aaron and Janet. I think occasionally... It's on the other side of the building. It's across the way. They might have got a waft of it occasionally. And what they do is they right away get on the phone and complain. And, you know, and like my friend Bill goes, well, what do they do when a car drives by that's got, you know, gas fumes? You know, it's just like, come on, folks. It's, if I can understand if I'm pumping smoke into your house on a continual basis and it's driving you crazy. Okay, I'm feeling you on that one. So I go and knock on this kid's door upstairs. And he comes to the door. And I say to him, hey, man. I'm just checking to see if my, is my cigar smoke bothering you? And he goes, Al, he goes, no, I didn't even know you smoked cigars. I go, oh, I see. Really? Wow. I go, because, you know, I heard, you know, somebody must have complained to Aaron and Janet, and then Aaron and Janet turned it over to the owners. He goes, oh, he goes, listen, man, he goes, if I have a complaint with you, I know you, and, I'll come to you. I'm not going to freaking complain to some managers about you. Spoken like a true guy, okay? Like a dude, like a man-to-man thing. Let's work this out. So it's just like, all right, so fine. So I think we're good. I'm good. And I now use the... I've been since a couple days. So after that, it was the... maybe a day or two later is when I got the purifier. So we'll see what happens. I'm thrilled to have it. I am definitely thrilled to have it. Anyway, I'm thrilled that you listen to my podcast, okay? You out there, you know who you are. You out there, you know who you are. I started making Vine videos. It's been suggested to me by a very wonderful animator, a friend of mine, that this is a very creative outlet and a promotional thing. They're 6-second videos. They're basically mini movies that you make in 6 seconds, which I was thinking, could this be the destruction of civilization that we're at a point now where, I mean, I know, like, if I see something on, like, a YouTube and it's just, like, 9 minutes, 28 seconds, like, I don't have time for that. But everybody has time for something for 6 seconds. What a brilliant thing. And it loops. It loops it. So, you know, it keeps looping it. So you can keep watching it or you can shut it down. So look for that. I posted on my Facebook and my Twitter. if you want to follow me on Vine or Revine, I don't know. My friend was trying to explain to me about how to get, you know, followers. So far, I think I have on Vine, I have zero followers. but that's okay. I've only started making videos. I made one like a couple weeks ago, and now I just started making, every day I'm making at least one. And I'm getting ideas for them all the time. So just a little something, a little treat for me and a treat for you guys, I guess. If you think it's, you know, some people are enjoying it. I'm getting good feedback from the few I've done so far. So it pleases me. That is very pleasing to me. So I think the commitment about the food I'm going to make this week is that I'm going to cut down, at least. And we're going to be moving into, because I think what's happening is I'm going, oh no, I got to give all this stuff up. And I know the trap in that is then you start to store up and eat things, even stuff you're not in the mood for, because you're thinking, oh, I'm never going to have that for a long time. So I just sounded like the Armenian girl. Anyway, until next week, this is Al Berman live from a studio apartment.